We'll do part three tonight. What is Christmas? Part one. Anybody remember what part one was? Anybody remember? Celebrating one message. Talked about how that Christmas time, everybody usually is on the same page as far as what the message is. Part two was last week. We talked about loving one another. That's something at Christmas time that we seem to be a little more lovey-dovey because we got the Christmas spirit. So even that old Uncle George or that Aunt Esther or that Cousin Eddie that we don't like, when it comes Christmas time, we can bear him a little bit more because it's Christmas. And so we talked about that. Tonight, we're going to talk about part three, giving of gifts. That's the part we like, right? We love the wrapped presents. We love the Christmas morning to go see what Santa brought us. And so we go in our living rooms and we dash down the stairs with curlers in our hair. And we go down and we can't wait to see what's under the tree with the red wrapping and the wrapping and the bows and the ribbons. And we shake the box and we smell the box and we pick up the box and we're so excited to see what's in the box. So giving of gifts is something that is synonymous with Christmas, whether it's given to your children, to your spouse, to your boss at work, to your credible pastor, whoever that may be that you want to bear gifts to, that's something that we do. And it's synonymous. So we're going to talk about giving of gifts, part three, what is Christmas? And we'll, of course, talk about spiritually tonight, what does giving of gifts mean for us? We're going to start in John chapter 3, a very familiar verse, and first talk about the gift that God gave us so we can understand where we're going with this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son as a gift, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now let's talk about the word saved there for just a minute. Because when we hear the word saved, all of us Christians, we immediately think heaven. And we should. But saved has a much broader meaning than just going to heaven. You look up the word saved in the original Hebrew or the original Greek. Look at the definition of what saved means. It means safe, protect, deliver, heal, preserve, make whole. That's what this gift gave us. It protects us forevermore. It preserves us forevermore. And I think about the analogy I used that Joe Brown has brought to my attention, he hasn't forgotten, is when I use the canning jar analogy of how that when our life's in Christ, we are put in a mason jar with the seal and the lid, and we're preserved. If you preserve a can of green beans right, they're going to be the same green beans 532,000 years from now as they are today, as long as the seal is not broke. Them beans are preserved. And when you pop that cap, makes that noise, right? And you know it was sealed. This is what this gift did to us. It sealed us. It preserves us through all the heartache, through all the pain, through all the turmoil, through all the trouble, through all the storms. It preserves us. It preserves us no matter what we're facing, we still come through okay. We're not scarred, we're not destroyed because of the storm, because we're preserved by his salvation and we are made whole. We're made complete again. We have been delivered from the power of sin into his light. We've been delivered from darkness into his light. We've been delivered from our sin into his righteousness. We have been set free. So saved has a very meaningful, powerful definition here. And this is the gift that God gave us. He came that we might be saved, preserved, healed, delivered, protected, safe. Isn't it great to know we're safe? That's something that is getting harder and harder right now to feel is safe. Safe in our homes, safe in our churches, safe on the road. I mean, this idiot car today pulled right out in front of me. I mean, he could not have seen me. Pulled right out in front of me. Had to slam my brakes. I'm like, what are you doing? There's nowhere that seems to be safe anymore. And to know that I'm safe in Christ, that I'm safe from all the darts the devil throws me, just like Proverbs or Psalms 91, one of my favorite Psalms, where it says that, you know, the terror that flieth by day and the arrow that flieth by night, that he sends his angels to give charge over me. So I can feel safe in Christ. I am healed from my sin sickness through Christ. I'm protected from any onslaught the enemy may bring against me through Christ. I'm preserved no matter what comes my way. The devil can't spoil what God has preserved. He can't take it away, and he can't change it, and he can't poison it, and he can't unmix it, because I'm Jesus's. I'm his forever, and I've been made whole. I was not complete before, but now I'm made whole again, and I'm put back together, and I'm complete in Christ. The Bible says that we are complete in Christ. So this is the gift God gave us. 2,000 years ago, started in a manger, ended as a resurrection. And that's the gift God gave us. Next scripture, Brandon. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, he loved us. Then verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is what? A gift of God. Grace was wrapped up in a big old gift through the sacrifice of Jesus. This manger scene, well, it was there, it's back there now. The manger scene ought to have a big old red bow on the manger of Jesus. Instead of being wrapped in swaddling clothes, in today's world we could wrap it in green paper, put a big red ribbon, and put a name tag that says, to humanity from God. And we open it up, and what do we find? We find grace. We find this gift that set us free, that we didn't earn, that we can't keep, that we can't even lose because it's not ours to lose. It's not ours. It's the gift that God gave us. And this gift is a precious gift that doesn't run out and doesn't expire and doesn't return void. It's a gift that he provided for me because he loved me. And we don't have the next verse up here, but it goes on to say, no, not of man, not of works, lest any man boast. It's a gift, church. It's a gift. So the gift that God gave us was grace, was mercy, was forgiveness. Now we're going to talk about three gifts tonight that we as Christians can present to other people. Here's three gifts you all can give away to people. Three things I picked. All three of these gifts are completely free of charge. They don't cost you a thing, but they have eternal impact. These three gifts you give, you don't have to pay anything for them. But when you deliver these gifts to other people, it changes their lives forever. And you never know when that gift that you give is going to be used. For sometimes we give out this gift and we don't see an immediate result. We don't see an immediate change. We don't see an immediate reciprocation of it. But at other times, it comes back. The first gift we're going to talk about is love. All of us can love somebody. Now, I'm not talking about just loving somebody that loves us back. That's easy. Easy to love Shirley Childers. I mean, she loves everybody. I mean, who can't love Shirley? She's so sweet and tender and mild and meek and incredible. And her head is really growing right now, really big. I mean, it's easy to love Shirley. What's not easy is to love those that we feel don't love us back, or that we love those that aren't like us, or we love those that don't look like us, or we love those that don't act like us, or we love those that we have no relation to whatsoever that's so different than us. But love has no boundaries. Jesus died for all humanity, not just a certain group of people, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles, which is everybody else. He even died for the redheads. Can you get a hallelujah, Nikki? I mean, think about that. God died for the gingers. Yes. And so we think about his love and how deep it is and how great it is. And this is a gift that all of us, doesn't cost anything to do it. But in order to love someone, we've got to understand and appreciate the love Christ has for us. And my verse for this is 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. This is not talking about, I want to very much clear this boundary line. It doesn't mean that we have to endorse and accept the behavior of others. But it does mean that we love them even through their nastiness. That we love them no matter what. Whatever they look like, whatever they act like, whatever they have been, no matter what they have said to you, no matter how much they've rejected you, no matter if they ever talked to you, no matter if they've even spread rumors about you. Because the Bible says to bless those that persecute you and to love your enemies. I wonder why Jesus said love your enemies, because he knew it didn't take anything to love your friends. I love my wife. I have to. I mean, I want to. That's what I meant to say. I want to. I love her. I love my kids. I can't help it. No matter what they do, I'm going to always love them. That's what hurts so bad when you see your children in a way that's not pleasing you, because you can't just stop loving them. You can't just turn off a switch. Well, I don't love you no more. That'd be easy. Oh, that'd be nice sometimes. Have that just pause. Okay, I'm going to not love you right now so the pain don't hurt right here. It's not easy to love everybody. I get that. But that's a gift for Christmas, that each of us can invest in someone's life. And people are so broken and hurting, and they're so receptive to anyone that will show them that love. You know, there's an incident at Captain's Galley about a year ago. Me and Melanie went to eat. It's probably a year ago now, I'd say. And this little young girl was waiting on us. You could tell something was wrong with her. And, you know, I talked to her and say, is everything okay? We didn't know her. And she teared up, and you could tell her, she teared up immediately. You could tell there was a wall went up, and you could tell she had something to say, a story to tell, and didn't. But there was pain there. And just by me opening it up, hey, are you okay? And that's all people need sometimes, is to know you care. Just to know you care for them. You can't always fix their problems, but you can care for them. And they know that. And it's that love that changes everything. When that Samaritan woman was at the well getting ready to draw water, and Jesus came her way. And this is a woman that did not deserve, and I'm saying this sarcastically, my eyes rolling, as the church world would say today, she did not deserve the love and grace of God because of her lifestyle. And God would never save a woman like her, and God would never go to a person like her, and God would never be seen around somebody like her, because she was an outcast and she was living unholy and ungodly. And Jesus went to her. He went to her. I want to make that clear. The woman didn't come to Jesus. Jesus went to the woman. He went to where she was going to be at, and he offered her this gift of love. I've got living water for you to drink. He looked beyond her five husbands, or her five boyfriends, or her five live-ins, or whatever they were called. She looked beyond her reputation. He looked beyond her past. He looked beyond all of her choices and all of her decisions. He looked beyond those things, and he saw a redemptive work in progress. That's what he saw, and he offered her. He didn't go to the Pharisees and the scribes and these religious leaders and the ones that seem to be doing everything right. He went to the Samaritan woman, and he went to Zacchaeus, and he went to all these needs. The lepers came to him, and he healed them, and they were considered unclean, but God would heal them. They weren't unclean to God. The adulterous woman, when everybody wanted to stone her to death and she was a castaway, what did Jesus say? He forgave her. His love penetrated their pain and their past and their darkness and their issues. That's what love does. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, talking about love, that, you know, if I have prophecies and I do all these and understand all mysteries, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And it ends up in that chapter saying, out of all these things, you know, charity is the greatest of all. Love's the greatest thing of all. I said this before. It is the greatest testament we have to our Christian faith, is loving people. And when they see that and they know that, it's amazing. And this church makes me so proud of the love that you show people. You know, we have Chestnut Grove out. That Brother Roseberg always says, I feel so much love from your people at this church. We feel so much love. We feel so much the Spirit of God. And we feel so much unity here in this church. And that's how it should be. It's how it should be. So the gift of love we have. Next verse, or next point. Number two gift we all can give. Oh, we like this one, don't we? Forgiveness. Don't cost you nothing. Well, it does cost you something. Pride. You got to eat some crows and I'm going to swallow your pride. We can offer forgiveness to others, even if they don't deserve it. You're asking a hard thing, preacher, because, I mean, I can't forgive what they've done to me. I just can't. It's in my human nature. I can't let it go. I can't forgive them. I'm going to always be mad at them for that or hurt with them. I can't. But we said before, offering forgiveness to someone sets us free much more than does the other person. Because if we're not offering forgiveness, it's hard for us to walk in love. How can I walk in love to Nikki and Jamie if I've not forgiven them for something? If I'm mad at them, they've hurt me. Okay? Nikki ate all my mama's cookies. I didn't get none of them. That's kind of an inside joke. She ate all my mama's cookies. Didn't leave me not one. Nair one, the old timer. Nair one. Mom made a dozen. I didn't get nair one of them. She hogged them up with that gallon of milk. They were gone. I'm like, you left me no cookies. That was wrong. I don't like you for that. It's kind of hard to love her if I can't forgive her. These gifts go hand in hand, love and forgiveness. Forgiveness is something we all can offer. That if we know that we have a hard time letting go in someone's life, something they've done to us, that we let that go and we offer that forgiveness. I forgive you for hurting me. I forgive you for abusing me. I forgive you for all the pain that you've inflicted on my life. Forgiveness. Now let's go into a little more broad scale for those in the church. Somebody walks in the Living Word Ministries and they're like, oh, I know them, man. They're nothing but a drug addict, nothing but an alcoholic, nothing but a this or this, or, you know, or they're, you know, homosexual, or, you know, they're this or they're this. And they've done all these things. They're a criminal. They've got a history. They've been in prison and they've got felonies, whatever the issue is. Are we as a church able to look beyond those mistakes of what they've been and say, you know what, the forgiveness of God is just as much for you? I've never wore a prison number on my back, but it makes me no less, no more worthy of God's grace than the one that has. We seem to look at those people and look at those situations and not offer our full welcome into the body of Christ, or welcome into the church, or welcome into serving God, or whatnot. Now, we do this here, but for many churches, for many Christian bodies, that's a problem. Because we are identifying those that we want to accept and that we should accept, and then those that we don't accept. And that's something that has really separated, I think, and hurt the faith for people to God. Because they see us getting in the way, making the rules, instead of saying, you know what, who am I? Who am I to judge you or hold anything against you? This is between you and God. If you come to God like everybody else, if you've talked to God, that's you and God. So I'm good with that. Forgiveness is a gift that we can offer. Look at the verse here. This is Ephesians as well, I believe. Yeah, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now that should make us have a big old gulp in our throat, because none of us can get around this verse. If we talk about how sanctified we are and we're a glorified child of God and we've been forgiven and our sins are far as the east is from the west, and I'm a clean vessel, I'm washed white as snow. I once was crimson red, but I've been washed white as snow. I'm whiter than a blizzard snow. I'm whiter than a lamb sheep full of wool. I am white, 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 white. I'm clean by the blood of Jesus. But yet we don't forgive others. How can we get around that? God forgave us. He forgave us. There is no excuse left that we can't walk in forgiveness toward others because of his example of forgiving us. Because what if he held the same standard against us as we hold toward other people? As I just sung the song Marjorie did, where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love. Thank God. We've got to get our headlights shining in love and not judgment and not hate and not bitterness and not speculation of always trying to find the flaw in people. Man, we all are flawed. I got so many flaws. As Mom says, she gave me to Melanie in good shape. That's what she keeps telling Melanie. When Melanie fusses about me, I gave him to you in good shape. We all got flaws. We've all got issues. We've all got things and weaknesses, and we all have motes in our eye, so to speak. They're just different motes. They're just different issues. They're just different things. And so we got to learn to walk in this forgiveness. As Christ forgave us, we forgive others. This clears a pathway for us to shine in full the brightness of the glory of God in other people's lives. Because they see that. We don't need to have anything. As a message I did a few weeks ago, we don't need to have anything that our testimony should overcome our test. And our testimony is this. You're forgiven. I'm not holding against you. We got Holy Ghost-filled Christians that have attitudes toward other people. That ought not to be. That won't speak to certain people. That ought not to be. That won't associate because of what they are, who they've been, the color of their skin, whatever the issue is. I mean, there are people by political party that hate you because you're a Republican, because you're a Democrat, and they hate you just because of that. One thing, oh, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, and that one thing separates us. How shallow we've become. There are Democrats and Republicans that are bought by the blood of Jesus. I know it's hard for y'all to believe, but both sides, the blood works for. It's okay we have an opinion. It's all right. But let it not stifle our spiritual testimony to where we can accept them, forgive them, love them, and offer this gift to them. It cost us nothing. It just means we walk with spiritual integrity. And it's hard. Next. Oh, Colossians 3:13. Another verse on forgiveness. Look at this. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. Here it is again. I love how Paul always brings back. Paul's being real smart here. He's bringing back Jesus to it. If any of you have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you forgive others. Is that, I think, what it says? If Brandon will turn my slide for me. Oh, Ashley, I'm sorry. Turn my slide. Oh, that was it. Okay. Where's Brandon at? He leave? Oh, thank you. I didn't know he was even up there, Ashley. Thank you. I saw you walk up all ago. And it's, okay, sorry. So, as Christ forgave us, we forgive others. The whole message. Christ forgave me. Christ. The next time you have a hard time forgiving someone, picture that. Man, Christ forgave me. Jesus forgave me. Ephesians 4. Go back to my slide. I didn't get my last message. Could you turn it? Go back one. There you go. Third gift. We talked about we can give love. We can give forgiveness. We can give hope. You know, there are so many people that grow up with just total negativity their whole life. That's all they hear. They're worthless. They're no good. They're nothing. You're like your daddy. You're like your mama. And we've all said things like that. I don't care how much we say we haven't. We have all spoken wrong words into our family or people's lives that we shouldn't say. We've all done that. And if that's done enough, they lose hope. There's no hope for me. There's no hope for a future. There's no hope for a forgiveness. There's no hope for love. There's no hope that God will save me. There's no hope because I've gone so far and I've been so bad and I've done so much. And every preacher I hear, all he talks about is the flames of hell, and that's all I hear. So that's where I'm going. That's my destiny. And they have no hope. That's what we need. Is we need to, and that's something we all can give people. It's hope. You know, we've always tried to build our children up, me and Melly. And there were times we tore them down, but we tried to build them up. And even in times that were difficult, we would tell our children, look, here's what I see in you. I see possibilities, and I see talents, and I see gifts. And you got a choice of how you use those gifts and how you use those talents. You've got a choice of what you do with what God's given you. And some choices will lead you down the dark road you don't want to go, and some will lead you down the right road God has for you. But it's there. And no matter how you feel about yourself, here's what I see. Here's what God sees. It's important that we do that. Look at the verse for hope I've got. This is something that we all can give to every person in our lives. Go ahead, Ashley. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The word corrupt in the Greek means rottenness or worthlessness. Let no worthless words, let no worthless communication, let no rottening thing come out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. You know why they're so, and I'm going to use an example, and not me now, I'm talking about other men. The reason, and I know what you women are going to think, but let me finish my thought before you jump on me. The reason that so many men, it seems like of this generation, a lot of men, seem defeated is because wives don't edify them. See, I'm a man. I'm a real man, flesh and blood man. And there's nothing for a man worse than getting picked at, gnawed at, and never credited for any accomplishment. Because a man needs to be built up. The wedding vows I do, that's part of my wedding vows to wives, to build your husband up, to build him up. A man needs that edifying. I'm not saying a woman don't either. I know what you women are thinking. Well, my man was worth it. He'd be edified. Look, that's not what I'm saying. Maybe he's like he is because you ain't edifying him. See, men give up sometimes because they can ever not do enough. They're never good enough. They're never this enough. And that's just one example. Now, in the church and people around us, if someone's always hearing, you're nothing but an old alcoholic, you're just nothing but a drug addict, you're nothing but this, you're nothing but a, if I can use this word, I don't think it's too bad, a skank. Let's just use that. You're nothing but a skank out there in the world. And that's all they hear. How is that edifying them? They need to be built up with the same message that Jesus brought to all humanity. What if Jesus went to the well and says, hey, let's call her name Mary. Hey, Mary, Samaritan woman. How you doing? I'm all right. Yeah, you old hussy. Sleeping around there every Joe that comes in town. I tell you what, you're nothing but a woman. I'll be real nice if we're in church. You're a woman of ill repute. Okay? You're a bad woman, a naughty woman. All you do is sleep around. All you done is this. You know, when you go get it, turn around. When you go do this. When you go do this. She already knows what she is. Jesus didn't bring one accusation against her. He did present to her what she had been as a matter of affirming who he was. But after acknowledging what she had been, after he said, here's, you've been with five men and the one you're with now, not your husband, after he affirmed that, he offered no punishment and no judgment. He offered forgiveness and love and life. He built her up. He pulled that woman off the road that she was on through his words of edification. And it pulled her up and she wanted what Jesus had. That's what we should be doing, is building each other up. You're beautiful. I'm not saying do a bunch of Dr. Phil baloney. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about really seeing the best in the ones that we love and letting them know that. This is what I see in you. Because there is good we can find in anybody. I don't care how bad they are, there's good we can find in them. And as we focus on that good and build that up, and don't let worthless words come out of our mouth, words that bring no healing, that bring no deliverance, that bring no salvation. Remember when you came to Jesus, what words did you hear? You heard good news. Man, Jesus loves you beyond your depth of darkness. Jesus loves you beyond your sin. You may have been the gutter, slap out, passed out, drunk, high on crack last night, but the love of Jesus can set you free, wash your sins away, and make you whole. And you can live with him forever in the kingdom of God. That's what drew all of us. The good news, the message of hope that comes to every man. Doesn't matter where they've been, how hardened they are, 40 years to life serving, they can go behind the bars and a preacher can say, here's the gospel message. I know what you've done. I know where you've been. All that junk is there. I know and I get it. You've been that. You've done that. But here's the hope I want to offer you. Here's the hope of Christ that can change your whole future if you'll receive what I'm telling you. To build up and to edify. And that's something that's hard for us to do. You know, a juicy rumor spreads a lot more than a good rumor. Oh, it spreads a lot more. Let's use an example. Sunday morning comes around, and Stacy and Donna get in a fight in church. They start slapping each other. Now, it ain't the Holy Ghost now. I mean, they're mad. They get a few words. Stacy slap. They get into a cat fight. Donna over here pulling hair. That's going to be all. I mean, that's going to be everywhere, right? That's going to travel. I'll have other preachers calling me, brother, what happened up in that house Sunday morning? But let the altar be filled with 10 or 12 people who for the first time really came to Jesus. Not one squeak on Facebook about that. Not one. Because we like this. You know why the Jerry Springers and the all those stupid shows, is it Maury Povich or whatever his name is? All them people, I don't watch them shows, but man, I mean, it's ridiculous the ratings they get with people up there. They cuss the most, they got to bleep every word out. Can't even listen to it. Who's your baby daddy? Here's a test. Oh, no, she didn't. And they're all on the stage throwing chairs. I mean, who have we regressed as a humanity that's entertainment? But we love that stuff. We love it. And it travels like wildfire. Because tearing something down is a lot more fun than building something up. And that's where, as Christians, that we need to offer this gift to those around us. I'm going to stop tearing down and start offering hope. I'm going to start building you up. We're getting ready to go into a new year, 2018. And I'm excited about this coming year for this church and what God is going to do in 2018. And I'm thinking about that the more that we reach out with love, forgiveness, and hope, the more breakthrough is going to happen. The more healing is going to happen. The more salvation is going to happen. Because this is what breaks the back and softens the heart, is when people know that you love them, that you're holding nothing against them, and that they can share in the same inheritance that you have. It doesn't, see, the thief on the cross, I love this. It points out a lot of things. But one thing it points out as well, this thief on the cross, he didn't live a very good life. He didn't follow the ways of Jesus. He didn't follow the ways of God. He didn't go to the synagogue probably and give of his alms and fast and keep the feast and make a sacrifice and read out of the Torah. I'm sure that wasn't his life. So at the end of his life, just hours before his death, he got the same inheritance John the Baptist got, who died for Christ, who suffered for Christ. He got the same inheritance. This thief on the cross had the same opportunity for hope that the disciples who followed Jesus for 60 years before they died, they had the same hope. This hope is for everybody. We don't just give it to ones we think deserve it. Well, that's a pretty good guy there. I'll talk to him about, you know, I'll invite him to church. He's, man, I'm telling you, we need this community right now around us. This is the most unchurched generation that's ever been before. Studies show it. The most unchurched time we live in is right now, 2017. And the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Man, the harvest is ripe for picking. People are on the brink of just, if someone would just walk their way, if they would just knock on the door of their life and just offer them something. You never know. These are three gifts. Is that my last thing, Ashley? Oh, under the hearers, yes. We are to edify and build up and minister grace unto the hearers. Let them hear grace. Build them up with grace. That's the message of hope that we need to hear. There needs to be hope. People are losing hope. People are fighting demons. I met with the wife of Sean today, the young man I told you about Sunday that ended his life. I met with her today and spent about an hour and a half with her at the house. And one thing he was battling in the note he left behind is he He said, I'm tired of fighting these demons. I'm tired of battling the demons. When we are always in a battle, there seems to be no hope. When all we see is the battle, it clouds out the hope. This is a 45-year-old man who saw no hope and thought his greatest hope was being off the earth. There are many people like that, that they don't see any hope. Their tomorrows are just all bad. Their tomorrows are all of no good. Their tomorrows, there's no light in their tomorrow. It's day after day of darkness, 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 darkness. And he came to church here, and he had been the altar, and me and him had talked several times, and he was talking to God. He believed in God. And I truly believe he has peace now. I really believe that. I told his wife that he has the demons of no more demons now, no more fighting demons. But what a sad situation to leave a son and a wife behind. It's tragic because he had no hope. She shared with me some of his past today, of how he grew up, and you know, he didn't always feel loved. See, when you don't feel loved and you don't have hope, what's left? That's gifts we can offer the world. All of us can give people love. We can offer them forgiveness. As hard as that may be, we can. And we can offer them hope. Hope that it's going to be okay. That your joy, that your sorrow tonight can be turned to joy in the morning. Just hang on and wait. Christmas, giving of gifts. We have gifts as Christians that we can give to others. Don't keep them wrapped up and hidden in 2018. Open them up and give them away. And let the gift that's in you impact them forever. We have seeds, church. We're called to plant seeds. We're not called to grow them. That's God's job. We're just called to plant them. Just plant them. Throw them down, see where it goes. Carrie told me when I left today, she says, it's no accident that God brought you in my life 20-some years ago for this moment now. I've not seen her in 20-some years till now, but I knew her 20-some years ago. And that's why I say you never know when the gift God's given you will be applied. The church, be ready to offer them. We are the Santa to so many people. Pull it out of your bag and give it away. I want to give you love because I feel like nobody loves you. I'm going to honor you as I honor myself. I'm not going to look down on you because you're here. And I know it's hard. And I know we're in a human body. And I'm going to be honest with you. I fight this part here. We are seeing more and more homeless. The homeless is growing in Statesville. We're seeing more people congregate homeless. People walking around in blankets and quilts and carrying tents and backpacks, and it's a sad sight. And part of me, I fight this because I'm like, you know, you've got to make better choices. And you've got to get a job, and you've got to keep a job, and you've got to get off the junk you're on, and you've got to do this, you've got to do this. And so that part is always fighting with my spiritual part of realizing I know there's mental illness, and I know there's substance abuse that is out of control for some people, and they just, that's their life, and they're stuck in it, and it's sad, and it's tragic. So I'm always kind of fighting that. Okay, you're homeless. You know, me and my wife are working. We're doing all we can to survive. You know, we're doing our part. We're paying our taxes. You know, we're trying to raise our family. We're doing this. We're doing this. I mean, you know, me and Melanie still support both our other kids sometimes. I mean, we're sending them some money from time to time, both of them. And you know, we're doing all this stuff. And you're out here just walking around and just with a sign, help me. And people give you money for nothing. Just to stand there. And I fight that. But I've got to go back into a little bit deeper and get out of my, because see, that's just me. That's self. I've got to look at what Christ has done for me. And like I said, many of us are just a few steps away from being where those people are. A few steps away. Lose your job, can't find a job, get behind on a few payments, lose your house. You know, You lose your car. If you're making payments, can't pay your pay. They come repo your car. Now you got no transportation. Now you got no place to live. You're trying to find a job. You get a job, but guess what? You can't get there because you got transportation to get there. It's a cycle. And thank God, just all of us are really just a few steps from that in reality. But these are gifts that we can offer. There was a guy at McDonald's one morning, and I actually knew him. He was a homeless guy. He lived out in the woods behind Walmart. And he was in there, and I went in, and I bought him breakfast. And we sat down, and we talked a little bit. Asked how he was doing, what was going on. And you know, he lived in a tent in the woods behind Walmart. And, man, I struggle with that. I really struggle with that because I know I can't fix his problem. But I want to also show Jesus to him the best that I can. It's a hard balance. But it was a gift of love, you know, a breakfast. Not a big deal. But to him, a big deal, probably. These are gifts we can offer, church. Giving of gifts. As Christmas comes up, find someone in your life that's around you that you can give one of your gifts to. Gift of love, gift of hope, gift of forgiveness. Whatever gift it is that you want to give. But these don't cost us anything, but they impact. Right. That's a good verse to bring up. I actually thought about that earlier today. I didn't use it, but I come across that verse. Also, in closing, one verse I want to put out there. I didn't put it on the screen, but it's in Acts, I think, chapter 3, verse 1 or 2, when Peter and John heal the crippled man. Such as I have, I give to you. Think about that tonight as you leave. Such as I have, I give to you. You don't have to have a lot, just such as you have. Give it away to someone else. Anybody else got a comment? All righty. We'll be here Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, regular service for Christmas Eve. And hope for a good turnout, hopefully Sunday morning. And kids will be out here. We'll read the Christmas story, talk about the seed that came to the earth and the impact it really had on humanity. So it's going to be a beautiful service. No snow Sunday, so everything should be good. Could be some snow later, but not Sunday. So it should be good. So I hope y'all can make it. Be a great service to invite a friend to. Get the Christmas folks out Sunday. The heathens. The non-churchgoers. Say, come on. Look, it's Christmas Eve, dude. It's Christmas Eve. It's baby Jesus time. Okay? Dear baby Jesus. It's Jesus time. You know what movie I'm talking about? Will Ferrell. Dear baby Jesus. Sweet baby Jesus. In your little manger, we love you so much. Bless this food. It's baby Jesus time. So talk to someone and say, look, it's Christmas Eve. Invite someone that's not in church. And many of you are doing this. I appreciate it. I see people, y'all bringing people. We had visitors Sunday night that came to our dinner. You and Chuck, y'all been bringing folks lately. It's been wonderful. And invite people. I mean, all I can say is no. But it could take one message, getting their foot in the door one time to hear that hope that they need to hear for their lives. So we are excited about the year coming up. We really, really are. All righty, let's stand our feet. We'll close out. If you have an offering tonight, you can put in the offering plates over here to my left on the way out.